KPFK Studio A. Kate and Anna McGarrigle came in on that evening and recorded a program for us that we saved till now. Here from Studio A is Kate and Anna McGarrigle, but first your host, Howard Lerman.
Thank you, Roz Lerman. You're listening to Folk Scene. I'm Howard Lerman with Peter Cutler and Stephen Barker at the controls. Our guests are Kate and Anna McGarrigle.
Thank you.
Our guests from, live from Studio A are Kate and Anna McGarrigle, and they record for Ryko Hannibal, and their latest album is called Matapedia. Did I pronounce that right?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Very good. Better than some people in Canada that have called it Matapedia.
Uh-huh.
But they think they're in the old country, you know.
Is that an area? Is that?
It is. It's right. It's on the border of Quebec, New Brunswick, and Maine. It's all sort of up in that sort of eastern Gaspé area.
One of the things I've always been curious about is when I see the two of you performing, you don't make any distinction about which is Kate's song or which is Anna's song and which ones you've written together. After a while, it doesn't make any difference, does it?
That's right. And in fact, the song we just did was written by our friend Philippe Tatarchev, who writes most of our French lyrics, but he wrote this is an English song that he did music and lyrics for.
That's unusual. You don't do that many of other people's songs.
We're getting, I think we do less of them now because we have so many records out, and I think people, I don't know, if you go to a show, I mean, you can only do so many songs in a show, and people feel cheated if you're not, you know, singing your own songs.
Yeah. Our guests are Kate and Anna McGarrigle. How about another song?
All right, Kate,
okay.
It looks like you're...
I just wanted to... You said we have so many records, though.
Well, I only seven.
Well, seven's not a whole lot, because I know some people have... Somebody said there were 27,000 records put out last year.
This song called Heartbeats Accelerating.
Love, love, where can you be? Are you out there looking for me? Love, love, where can you be? Waiting, will you come when all is still? From the river on the hill, love, love, where can you be? Love, I am waiting, heartbeats accelerating. Thank you.
I've always been very fond of that song. That song actually is the title song from Kate and Anna's 1990 release on Private Music.
Private Music, yes.
Which is now out of business. I hope that record's
such a private label. I'm not surprised it's out of business. I don't know what happened. We kind of at one point wanted to see Ryko Disc, with whom we are with at the moment. Mm-hmm. They leased our first two records from Warner Brothers, and we were kind of hoping they could do the same thing with Heartbeats, but I don't know. Or we might have to buy it back or something.
Mm-hmm. Now, Anna mentioned there were 7 recordings, and there are 5 that made it to CD.
Actually, 6.
6?
No. Yeah, well, that's right, because of the second... it will one fire that made it, one that's making it in the moment.
Oh, okay.
That pregnant.
No, I was going to say, it's sort of like a little soul in purgatory trying to get into heaven. We've got 5 in there now, and there's a 6th one coming in the fall.
I just don't think it wants to be part of the 27,000 records that are being released. It's saving itself.
No, it's a record called Love Over and Over. Mm-hmm. that we put out in 1982 or 83.
That Ryko will be putting out in, I think, in
September.
September, yeah.
Was that the one you produced yourself?
Yeah.
Well, we did that one. We also did the French one ourselves. We produced the French one.
Mm-hmm.
I guess those are the two we produce ourselves, yeah.
Tell me, what kind of music did you grow up with?
Oh, boy. An assortment. We really kind of grew up with songs that our parents sang a lot. We didn't really listen to a lot of records and radio. I mean, I don't remember much music on radio. It was mostly my father playing the piano and singing. And he sang songs. They're almost like kind of, I wouldn't say semi-classic, but kind of stuff almost that predates the first war in some ways, because he was born in 1899. So I guess he was singing songs that he remembered hearing. Mm. A lot of stuff that you can kind of find on records, like old Paul Robeson records what's the name of that animal? Who's the guy I always play? I have a few drinks.
Who?
The broken record, you know, pink cover. Oh, McCormick.
John McCormick.
Oh, yeah.
Sorry, I'm terrible. Sorry, John. Stuff like songs. They're songs.
I was going to say, we did actually listen to the radio. I mean, it used to be on a lot in the house. Our sister Janie, who's a couple of years older, used to listen to Western Swing.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know where that came from. It came from somewhere in the U.S., yeah.
The way the bio describes the geography of where you're from, you seem rather isolated from major population centers. Is that...
No, actually, it's very deceiving because, as a matter of fact, the town we're from, we all say this little French-Canadian town nestled in the woods, but indeed it has the biggest water slide in the world, and it made the cover of the L.A. Times about 5 years ago. I mean, mm-hmm. the front page of the L.A. Times mm-hmm. says biggest water slide in Saint-Sauveur-des-Monts, Quebec, Canada, and somebody sent, it was Bob Borgen who sent me a copy of it. Mm-hmm. And it was a small farming village. And then the Molsons moved in. They bought up a lot of land, and they more or less brought skiing there. And then there were a lot of Norwegians who came in between the wars, a lot of people. It was probably the most cosmopolitan area for the size.
Mm-hmm.
And it was fantastic. I mean, there were people. We had a white Russian duke who ran a boarding house, and we had...
fallen on hard times, you know, after the revolution.
Oh. Yeah. And had stuff like that. It was a very, very kind of a colorful place.
He actually fell off a ladder when he was painting his house and died. Anyway.
Our guests are Kate and Anna McGarrigle. And before you do your next number, why don't you introduce the other members of the ensemble?
Sure. On the violin, to my right, is Joel Zifkin. And over to the left, looking at all the new gear in here, is Michel Pépin on bass and electric guitar.
Okay, what number are you going to do next? Are you going to move to...
We are going to move to, let me see, I think we're going to move to the piano now again.
Okay, Kate's going to move back to the piano.
No, that's excellent.
Our guests are Kate and Anna McGarrigle. They record for Ryko's Hannibal label, which is rather... interesting in a way, because You made your first album with Joe Boyd as the co-producer, and now you're back in Hannibal where Joe Boyd is.
Yes. Well, he's what happened is Joe had a little trouble with his label, Hannibal, and sort of, I guess he was about to go under.
He had a little trouble with his artist on the label.
People were threatening to sue him because he wasn't paying them. But anyway, and Reichel Dis was interested in his catalog, so they basically, how shall I say, gave a little bit of money to all the people that they wanted to take over to over to Reichel, and we happened to be, you know, those people. So, yeah, we're very fortunate, and I just spoke to Joe today. So you must have seen him at the Folk Alliance.
Yes, I did have a conversation with him, yes.
Okay, I was going to get...
What number are you going to do next?
I believe we're going to do Jacques et Jill. I believe, yes, this is, somebody asked, actually, Roz asked me if I play Un Canadien Ira, but it's just, Un Canadien Ira is a theme that runs through the song that I think Pete Seeger recorded several years back, and if you listen to the violin, you'll hear, or the accordion, you'll hear it running, more or less running through, incorporated into the theme of the song. The song is about the French-Canadian workers who had gone to work in the mills of New Hampshire. Of New England in general, around before the turn of the century, between 1840 and 1930 or something. There were a whole lot of them, about a million. Some stayed and some went home.
Have brand new suits, the
girls, new coats and hats, a Madame Aubry, a gorgeous hat of Milton with three fine feathers. And we're going home to Canada, to La Beauce, our beautiful country. We'll take the new train from Nashua, our pockets filled with American money.
Our guests are Kate and Anna McGarrigle, who live in Canada, come from Canada. The French component of what you do, is that is part of your upbringing as well. It's not just something you learn later.
It's part of our upbringing. Our mother was, she was actually three-quarters French, but her mother was English-speaking. Her mother was Irish, half Irish, half French. But her father hardly spoke any English. So, and he would sing some folk songs. We'd hear him sing some old songs. I mean, he was born in the 1870s, 1860s or something. But mostly we learned a lot of the stuff at school, because when we started in French school, in those days, in the 1950s, it was a very, well, in the schoolyard, it was before there were fancy toys and stuff like that, because it was in the country, and you would actually, kind of stand in circles and do circle games that you would sing and just make a lot of, I don't know. And so we learned how to sing all those old songs that were probably, 200 years old.
Mm-hmm. Now, I wanted to ask you about, was the first song that you wrote that got recorded, was that by Maria Muldaur? The work song, was it?
It wasn't the first one I wrote. It was the first, I wrote that... I kind of started writing, I guess, around 1970. And I think when you start to write, suddenly you have like 1,000 songs coming out, one right after the next. Mm-hmm. And it was an early batch. It came, that one I think was written in 71.
But was that the first 2 years that was recorded by this?
Yes, yes.
And how did that get to Maria Muldaur?
It got to Maria. I was living in Boston at the time, and I knew Greg Prestipino. He's a friend of mine, who co-produced the first record with Joe Boyd. And Greg said, Maria Muldaur, I think I'd met her once. Oh, yeah, because, yes. No, that's right. I was living in Boston, but then I moved to Woodstock. Anyhow, I met her later when I went to Woodstock. Anyhow, it's a long story. Anyhow, so what happened was Greg was going out west. No, Greg and Maria walked into a... I remember now. It was Ann David Nichter and a whole bunch of people walked in. I was trying to do something, and they walked into a cafe, and they said, we're going back to Maria's house. We're just going to sing some songs. Actually, it was Greg's house. Anyhow, and Greg said, why don't you sing some songs for Maria? And I sat down, and I sang some songs. And then about 3 weeks later, they said, well, we're leaving. We're going out west. We're making a record for... Marie's doing her first solo record for Warner Brothers. Mm-hmm. And Greg said, why don't you just give me some tapes of those songs that you had sung? And I don't know if I don't think I'd sung that one that night. And I just kind of handed him this paper bag full of, in those days, 7-inch reel-to-reel things. And that song ended up on the record. And Greg said they just went through everything and all the tapes. They listened. His job was like to find stuff and, help her, like be like a musical advisor in some ways. Mm-hmm. And they picked that one.
And the biggest, the most well-known song of the McGarrigles is Heart Like a Wheel, right?
That was Anna's first song.
Uh-huh. And that was recorded by Linda Ronstadt, but it was after.
It was just, if I remember correctly, Maria's first record came out in 73, and then her second record came out in... It was right around the same time that Linda Ronstadt put out Heart Like a Wheel. It was either the year later or a year after that. Yeah, and Maria did another song of ours on her second record. So we were sort of almost, you could consider us established songwriters by 1975.
Right. Even by 74, I think what year did Heart Like a Wheel? Because I remember when Heart Like a Wheel came
74.
Out.
74.
70, I think so. I think you're right, yes. Yeah. So, right, the work song came out before... But they're very close, one on top of the other.
Our guests are Kate and Anna McGarrigle. They record for Ryko's Hannibal label, Ryko Discs Hannibal label. Say it any way you want. It's called Matapedia. How about another song?
Okay, we are going to do...
Yeah, I was going to say we're perfectly positioned to do Mendocino.
Even though it's an F, Anna, and I know that we don't really like to repeat songs in the same key. But please...
We've talked so long, people have forgotten what the key the other song was in.
Kate and Anna McGarrigle and Kate at the piano. Were you all schooled as children in various instruments?
We had a lot of instruments around the house. We had like an old zither, we had a ukulele, we had a banjo, we had a guitar. My father had a guitar.
We had a banjuke, actually. It was a ukulele banjo.
We did?
Yes. You don't remember the banjuke?
Banjuke.
You smashed it over somebody's head.
We literally smashed all the instruments when we were kids. Our father would let us play with anything. He had an accordion that he had loaned some money to some guy, and he took it as
collateral.
I don't know, and the guy never came back. Anyhow, it was a beautiful accordion, but that was too big. That was too heavy for us to carry. And we had a piano. We had a pump organ, a little harmonium, which my mother, when my parents got married, my mother had it was during the Depression. My mother had a job. I don't think my father did. And she gave him some money and said, go out and buy a bed. And he came back with a second-hand pump organ. That's kind of the story of their marriage. Anyhow, so our father would let us play. We were just allowed to play anything we wanted to play. And so there was a lot of damage around the house because kids will break things, you know.
Yeah.
But we were never discouraged from touching anything or trying things out.
Your parents were so involved with music. Did they do any writing themselves?
My father wrote a song. I think we may even have written it together. He wrote a song in about 1960-something. No, maybe late. No, I think I was about 13 or 14. called Soldier Boy. Because I was saying, Daddy, war is not in these, because he had been in the first war somewhere in Europe. I don't know. But, you know, I guess he was, it was kind of like this, I was saying, Daddy, it's, can't play that for my friends, you know.
We're in the anti-war.
Right, were they? And anyhow, it was kind of like a little, it was a little, that's the only song I've ever heard him. He did write poetry and stuff. I mean, just, you know, for just to amuse himself and amuse us. Mm-hmm. Sometimes we weren't so amused.
Our guests are Kate and Anna McGarrickle. I'm going to take just a minute out here for tell everyone they're listening to KPFK Los Angeles, listener-sponsored Pacifica Radio for all of Southern California. Our engineers are Peter Cutler and Stephen Barker. And our thanks to Jamie Canfield over at RICO for all his help in helping set this up. Our guests are Kate and Anna McGarrickle. What song do you play next?
I think we're going to play Going Back to Harlan, which is on our Matapedaya. No, I shouldn't. I should stop saying that because it's going to...
Yeah, that really throws me off. We start cheesing sometimes.
I know, exactly. No, Matapedia. Yes, I know. This is... Harlan is a song that Anna wrote, Going Back to Harlan. I mean, we've been out in Hollywood now for 4 days. We're saying things like, boy, when we did dinner. Like, you know when people kind of take one word and the title and kind of refer to, like, the project as well?
As if everyone knows what they're
right,
talking
right.
about.
Harlan, Anna wrote Harlan before 4 years ago?
Yeah.
It's also on Emmylou Harris's record of Wrecking Ball that she recorded with Daniel Lanois. And it's actually a couple of weeks ago, when we were talking about the Folk Alliance, when we were up at the Folk Alliance, we got to sing with Pete Seeger. I mean, just at the end of the show, on the when he sang Amen, us and about 30 other people. We had done a song called Harlan, which has a couple of references to songs that we'd learned, that he'd written, or we'd learned from listening to him. And he came backstage and he said, can I have a cassette of that song you made?
Was it the song you made?
Mm-hmm. The song you made? So we gave him a CD. And there are references, again, like before when we had... Un Canadien, that kind of theme running through Jacques Echille. This one has
a bit of Shady Grove
and Devil's Dream. I was going to say Devil's Nightmare.
Okay.
Not two.
Three, four. For the hangman's dream, and we
stove. Ring the bells of Rimini till they ring inside my head forever. Bounce the bowl, rock the gallows for the hangman's reel. And wake the devil from his dream. I'm going back to Harlem. I'm going back to Harlem. I'm going back to Harlem. Going back to
from Studio A, our guests are Kate and Anna McGarrigle. They record for Ryko Hannibal label. And their latest album, Matapedia, was out in 96. And that's 6 years since Heartbeats Accelerating. Is there, like, there's a long period of time. What was happening at that time?
It takes about 6 years to talk about that.
It's time to get off one label and get on another label, and then decide what songs you're going to do, and then actually think you're going to go with a set of songs that had already been sort of recorded. Kate and I go into the studio every time we write a song and make sort of something better than a demo tape that can be used at a later date. And we had already picked the songs, but then we decided to start fresh, I mean, and to write a whole bunch of new songs for the project. And the last song that we wrote was Matapedia. So we had to wait for that song to be written before we could have a record called Matapedia.
Yeah, because it was after we'd done Heartbeats for Private, and we weren't really getting we weren't terribly happy because it kind of buried the record. We thought it was a very good record. Made it. It's very different sounding from other records, and they just didn't do anything with it. So we kind of wait for the contract to expire.
I see.
So we took our time, and then Joe said, "Why don't you come over to Ryko Disc?" And he said, "Let's start our relationship with us putting out your old records on CD," which I don't think really that wasn't like a real big thing here, but in England, because he works out of England. We went over and we toured Europe, like we got like, you know, big, huge coverage and things like the Guardian and the, you know, big magazines in England.
Warner Brothers has a reputation for not being too easy to deal with in terms of reissuing their product on other labels. So I was kind of curious about that.
Well, I think possibly because Joe Boyd had a relationship with Warner Brothers, that he was able, because he was associated with, when Ryko picked up Hannibal, I guess that's what happened, and bailed him out, he was able to license them. Because Hannibal had licensed them when he had the mail order thing going.
I see.
And I guess because he had a kind of relationship with somebody in there, I don't know if it was Lenny or...
Our guests are Kate and Anna McGarrigle. What song are you gonna do next?
We're gonna do something from the private sessions.
I take it they were more private than you wanted them to be.
They're very private indeed. This is I Eat Dinner. This is the quintessential. Single mother song. I have to keep on changing a lyric in it because my daughter was 13, I guess, when I wrote it.
Just say 13.
Okay. She's actually 33. No, I'm just joking. She's 20. But it doesn't rhyme anymore. I got away with it until she was 19.
How How about 19 and 1?
1 and 19, because it has to rhyme with heen.
Okay. Right.
Okay. That's how we write songs. We straighten out each other's rhymes. Okay, we used to do this on piano in kind of a bossa nova version, and now we're kind of, I'm doing it on guitar. I don't know why I'm saying that, just because it's a new arrangement. I'm perhaps apologizing for it, but we're having a bit of fun with it. So I got to get the tempo right. Is that right, Michelle?
That's great. I eat dinner at the kitchen table by the light that switches on. With mashed potatoes, no more candlelight, no more romance, no more small talk when the hunger's gone. When the hunger's gone, I eat dinner at the kitchen table and I wash it down with pop. I eat leftovers with mashed potatoes. No more candlelight, no more romance, no more small talk when the hunger stops. When the hunger stops. Never thought my hair be turning to gray. It used to be so dark, so kitchen table with my daughter who is 13. We eat leftovers with mashed potatoes. No more candlelight, no more romance, no more small talk when the plate is clean. No more candlelight, no more romance, no more small talk when the hunger's gone. When the hunger's gone. When the hunger's gone. When the hunger stops. When the hunger is gone, when the hunger is gone, is gone. When the hunger is gone.
Our guests are Kate and Anna McGarrigle. And maybe we ought to mention that Kate's son, Rufus, and his, mm-hmm. her daughter,
Martha,
are both both songwriters as well.
Mm-hmm. Rufus is currently in L.A. recording for DreamWorks, and he's 23 years old, and he seems to be in good hands. And Martha is she's just starting out, really. She's 20. She's actually in acting school, mm-hmm. and she hasn't. He's been doing. He quit school, and I didn't give him hell for quitting school. You know, I think he did a good thing.
That's essentially what his mother did, right?
I finished school. I mean, I went through school in science, and at that time I didn't. I don't think my mother or my father. I don't think they would have really accepted that I drop out of school to do music.
You were an engineering student, right?
I did 2 years of engineering, finished in science.
I see.
As was Joel. You science?
I started in science, went to arts. Film.
Oh, I see.
Film?
Or you're in Los Angeles. I get you a deal.
Well, it took 6 years from Heartbeats Accelerating to Matapedia. How long is it going to be for the next one?
6 months. We're thinking of... We're under contract to make a live record with Ryko Disc. Joe's going to produce it, and so we have these meetings like at the Folk Alliance. Joe, you know, like we had 15 minutes between something, so he said we have to have a meeting, you know. So that was one meeting. He said, "Well, look, we'll take up this meeting in San Francisco because I'll be there." So until we sit down and have a real meeting, it's going to be hard, you know. But I think we're going to do it sometime in the summer.
What song are you going to do next?
Complain. Yeah. Okay.
We're going to do a song in French called Complain pour Sainte-Catherine. Put my headphones back on here. What is it about? It's kind of about how cold it can get in Montreal when you're walking along. There's a line that says, Ça fait longtemps que je fais la politique, 20 ans de guerre contre les moustiques, which means I've been fighting politics for a long time, or my politics is 20 years fighting against black flies. And we did the song. The song has been translated into several languages. And when we were in Norway, the girl said, "Is the song Complaint?" She was talking about the Norwegian version. She said, "Are those your politics?" And I said, "Oh, I said, well, wait a second. What does it say in Norwegian?" And it turned out to be a feminist song, mm-hmm. of feminist politics. But we didn't know that because we don't understand Norwegian, so we didn't. It was completely weird. Anna, where are you?
It's a song for all politics. A
song for all seasons. Yes, that's the politics of snow.
Yeah.
chien.
Our guests are Kate and Anna McGarrigle. We have time for one more song. And before you do that last song, I wonder if you'd tell me a little bit about like the difference. As you're traveling now, as I've seen you lately, and as I saw you... As I saw you 5 or 6 years ago, you had a very large ensemble playing with you, if I recall right.
6 years ago, there was only one more. There were six of us on stage. There were six of us on stage. But before that, we've traveled with as many as eight, which is awesome.
Actually, nine. It was horrible.
Well, what you do is very intimate, and really fits this four person.
That's why it was very hard. I mean, we love. There's some drummers we play with. Drummer Jerry Conway, who's just great. We love him, and I mean, it's very difficult, but it is hard to play with drums just because it's almost as if like the level, the moment you something kicks in, like you have the last thing to be considered is a voice, and it's really hard because you find yourself screaming all the time, And this way, we can hear each other.
We have time for one more song.
We might as well do Hard Like a Wheel.
Good. Our guests are Kate and Anna McGarrigle. They record for Rykodis Hannibal label. And Kate is now going to the piano, and Anna is going back.
Okay. I'll try not to make any mistakes in here. I made a bunch of them because the microphone was... I still have to look at my notes. I'm putting on glasses to look at the notes. Okay. We sang this in San Francisco, and Linda Ronstadt got up and sang with us last, which was very, very sweet of her. She's a good singer.
Understand, only God, oh my.
I want to thank you all for dropping
thank
by.
You
I really
very
appreciate
much.
It.
Thank
I
you.
Hope you get back to Los Angeles real soon.
Yeah, we hope so too.
Having a nice time.
We're having a very nice time.
Good. Yeah. Before you leave, once again, the musicians are
Joel Sifkin on violin and Michel Pepin on guitar and bass.
Now we'd like to thank you. Your sound person for all his help upstairs.
Guy Desmarteaux, yes.
He's helping Peter, yeah.
Yes. We're making visual signs. Thank you.
Thanks again.
Merci.
Thank you very much, Howard.
I'm Howard Larman. Here's Roz Larman.